Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, radio fans, you're listening to the Lunch Hour Radio Show.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Put your hands together for this next cowboy. He has written his last seven moves, and tonight he's gonna try and make it eight.
Here comes the bull down.
This is Kat Johnson of KatJohnson.net with Meek and Eight. Let's book.
Oh, well, that's right. Good afternoon, good morning, rodeo fans and Making Eight Maniacs. That's right. It's time for another Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here with Making Eight, your official voice of BuckersNow.com and Rank Bull Apparel. And I've got to tell you that we have got some cool new guests in here today. Welcome, Miss Kat Piper, or Kate Piper, I'm sorry. And Miss Catherine there, you see her in the chat room. Welcome her aboard, the Ohio girl, the Buckeye girl, coming in and joining us here for the show today. We've also got some guests on board and want to let y'all know that if y'all get a chance, get on over to Blog Talk. You can sign in with your Facebook screen name or Twitter screen name and come on down here and chat with us. We'd love to hear from you and sit back and have a good time right here on the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show. We talk some rodeo, we talk some bull riding, and, well, shoot, we just have ourselves a good time. So, you know, definitely come on down here. I'm getting multitasked here. My Facebook screen's popping up, and everything's going kind of crazy on me. But we got a grip on this deal. We're ready to rock and roll. Got to tell you that I know that Miss Barb is out here today, and I got to tell you, I'm shocked to see her. I know that she said she had a temp of 103, and that's not good, darling. We hope you're feeling better and you get well soon. We're not going to give you such a hard time if we can't get you on here to post our links for us. I promise you. We won't give you too hard of a time anyways. Just checking out, see what's going on down here in the Pike. Did you guys see the Bernie Clark show last night? Hey, what do you know? I mean, Ustream cooperated with him, and he didn't have any technical difficulties. I had a good time sitting back and listening to Brendan talk a little bit. Of course, these guys are heading out to St. Louis, Missouri, or Misery for the ones of us that have been there, and we will be we'll be tuned in this weekend. I got to let you know that, like I said, we are going to change our Back on the Ranch show on Sunday night. It'll be 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, so you guys can definitely be able to tune in to Versus at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Like I said, we want to make sure that you guys can get a grip on everything that's going on in the rodeo world. You know, we don't want to take away from your time to watch your PBR show. So you guys start spreading the news about us. Make sure to get the word out there. How about our European bull riders jumping on board, joining us today? Got to say a big old shout-out to you guys. I saw some pictures in the European bull rider fan page there on Facebook. Man, I'll tell you what, that thing looked like a buffalo. You know, I had a hard time distinguishing what it was, but, they got their winter coats going on out there in a big way. And I don't know, maybe you guys can give us some insight and tell us, I mean, do those things really buck out there? Do they buck like what you guys see here on the PBR tour, what you guys are able to catch on some of the videos of the bulls that are over here in the U.S.? I'm curious to know. So if you guys get a chance, post that out there and let us know. Looks like Miss Sandy, 2G Bucking Bulls, is jumping in here with us, and we sure do appreciate you jumping on board as well. We've got our fans that are tuned in online, and if you guys want to jump out here and, give us a big shout-out, if you guys have something to give us, want to talk about, 646-915-9940. We'll be happy to take your topics of conversation. And I do see that just came across the wire. Thank you, Ms. Christie, for posting that there in the chat room. McKinnon finally out of rehab. He's going to be able to get home And I think it's only a matter of time before you're going to see him back out here on a regular basis. From what I understand, he's looking good. He's feeling good. Well, he's looking as good as he was before the accident, I should say. I always give him a hard time and tell him that the best thing that ever happened to him was, of course, Miss Mesa Pate. She definitely makes him look a lot better than what he does. So, now, congratulations to McKinnon. I'm glad to see you back home and sitting back able to relax just a little bit more. It'll get easier day by day, I'm sure. I see that Miss Sandy is still feeling really sore out there. The work's always got to get done, and it's unfortunate. So hopefully you're doing all right here today. Let's see. What do we got going on here in the chat room? I need some good topics of conversation. Oh, yeah, that's right. Brian Canner back this weekend. We're going to get to see him in action. The young, you know, the guy don't stand but 4 foot tall, I think, you know. But it's going to be good to see Brian Canner come back and ride this weekend in St. Louis. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully you guys are too. So I think we're going to wind down, get things started off right here on a Lunch Hour Rodeo Show with a little bit of some music to get you fired up on a Wednesday. Hey, it's hump day. We're halfway through the work week. Only a couple more days left, and we're going to let you know where we're going, what's going on here this week for Making Eight. So don't go anywhere, fans. You listen to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here with Making Eight.
Office radio announcer, Brett Weldon, inviting you to join us at Making8.com. No matter if you're passing his tie and a calf in less than 8 seconds or staying aboard to the back of a mad bucker for 8 seconds, we got you covered. If it's happening in the rodeo arena, it's happening right here. That's Making8.com. Get a grip.
All right. Welcome back to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here with Making 8, your official voice of BuckersNow.com. You need to get on over there and build yourself a profile. I know that we have got lots of our Making 8 maniacs on board with Buckers Now, and I'm going to tell you there are some great things coming right down the road there. You guys stay tuned to Buckers Now. I'm telling you, we've got some cool things happening. So, Just make sure y'all stay tuned. I'm trying to multitask here and read. I got pop-ups coming from every direction here. But listen, I'm sitting here watching the chat room, what's going on, and I see a lot of comments coming in about the gender issue or the gender subject that was brought up yesterday. And, of course, if you guys listened to our show yesterday, you know that we had Rob Smets on board. We were also talking about the tragedy that happened down here in Tampa on Friday night with young Brooke Coates. Who we've actually seen ride personally. Very tragic scenario, very tragic situation. But the subject was brought up, and Rob went out on a limb to say that he did not feel that women should be riding bulls. And I know that that was very touchy, and that really hit a lot of you guys at home. This is something that you guys, I hope that you guys will take the and consider when you guys are talking about this, okay? Now, you guys think back to the way things were the early 1900s, back in the, let's just call them cowboy days, the Western days. You know, women rode horse side saddle, you know. But there's a part of that that comes to the male being very protective of the females, you know, of their women. You know, and I hope that I'm putting this in the best of terms possible, without offending anybody, and I apologize if I do. But you know, there's an amount of chivalry that goes on there. It's in a lot of our blood, especially within the rodeo community. And I'm not saying that women can't go and make a statement, you know, and be a part of this. Okay. I think that they should not be given any more leeway than a male bull rider. That's my opinion on it. Rob's opinion is more of an old school type thing. He believes that in order to keep the woman safe, why risk it and put her in that kind of danger? And I believe, truly believe, that that's where Rob was coming from when he made that statement yesterday. I really believe that, you know, if there's a female that can come in and ride just as hard as any one of the top 40 bull riders, then they absolutely should be allowed the opportunity to compete with those guys. Okay? But I have yet to see that. So somebody needs to step up and prove it to me that they can handle that. I think that, you know, the most appropriate thing coming from maybe it's just me wanting to protect what's out there. You know, I know the pain firsthand of what it takes to be a bull rider. I would rather not see a young, pretty lady, you know, but if that's what she wants to do, I am not going to turn that away. I'm not going to turn that away. So I hope you guys can understand that. I encourage somebody to go out there and ride bulls that is of a female gender? Probably not, because like I said, it's the type of person that I am where I feel like I have to protect. Same way with my 12-year-old son. I don't want him going to ride bulls. I'm going to support him in his decision for it, but I'm not going to necessarily encourage it. You know, I would much prefer see him do something within the roping community, see him doing something with one of the tie-down roper events. You know, they obviously have a lot of fans like Cat Johnson out there, you know. So I think that, you know, he could do just as successful there without enduring the type of pain that goes on. Is there still a risk of injuries? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I really, you know, I just truly believe that that's just my opinion, and I just want to be protective. It is the same way with females in combat. I would, I'm going to, if I've got a girl fighting in the hole with me, if she can shoot, I want her there. But the bottom line is I'm going to put my life and sacrifice my life a lot more than I am for her than I am for somebody that would say, you know, that I know that can withstand themselves. That's just a protective nature in all of us, and that's the way we were brought up in the country living, I guess you could say, in the southern, you know, maybe it's the southern hospitality in us. I'm not saying that women shouldn't be allowed to. I'm just saying that from a protective nature, that's one thing that we want to try to focus on is protecting the young ladies. So, you know, I don't know. I hope I'm not offending you guys. You know, I really do. This was an absolute freak accident. I see the comment that's coming in from Kat, and I appreciate that. This could have happened to anybody out there. It absolutely could have happened to anybody out there, whether it be a male or female. You get kicked in the wrong spot. We're talking about 170. When that bull is thrusting himself out and kicking somebody in that spot, you know, but it hits home. It makes things harder when you see it happen to a young lady. That's just the protective nature in us men. I hope that may explain things a little bit more. I'm not saying that women shouldn't be out there doing it. I'm saying that if you're going to compete, though, on that nature, then you need to compete on the terms the same as the men, you know. And I've got phone lines here that are lighting up, so I want to say that I appreciate everybody jumping on board here. We're going to take a caller right now. 405, you're on the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show.
Hey, everybody. How are you?
Good. Who is this?
This is Sandy.
Well, hello, Miss Sandy. How are you?
I'm good. There was not any way I wasn't going to call in.
I hear you. Well, okay, so put me in my place. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Well, I need some clarification myself. Did Rob actually use the word allowed?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's the problem that I have. I think it is basically up to whether it's a child, 16-year-old, or a younger kid that you're putting on sheep.
Right.
It's the decision of the parents, and I think it should be on a, you know, as individual basis decision as to if they're going to allow their child to ride or not. I don't think it should be an all the way across the board. Here's one rule, and it applies to everybody. You're not allowed to ride bulls. Like I said, I think it should be on an individual basis, and that's something that each parent should have to determine for themselves, you know, and for each child or each individual to have to determine for themselves if they want to ride. And I do agree that – go ahead.
No, I agree with you there, Sandy. I really do. I don't think that women should be favored, you know, like, you know, in a lot of events that you'll see women only have to compete for 6 seconds, you know. I think that if they're strong enough to compete, that they should be given the same opportunities as any male out there in that, you know, in that association that's competing for that event.
I agree. And they know the risk, you know. The parents of these children have to know the risks. Anybody who climbs
Absolutely.
On the back of a bull or stands behind a chute, they have to know the risk that's involved. But, you know, this was her passion. This is something she loved to do. It's something I can relate to, something I understand. Now, for myself, I would never even dream of trying to get on the back of a bull, but that's not what I want to do. I just want to butt bulls, and, you know, that's something we've dreamed of for a long time. And
Absolutely.
So being able to do that, there's still risk that I know is involved standing on the back of a chute or being in the pen with a bull. And I know that, you know, she knows that there was risk involved because it doesn't matter, male or female.
Nope.
Look what happened to McKinnon. Look what happened to Jody Newberry.
Right.
The risk is there. The injury is there. Growing up at rodeo and her being around rodeo, excuse me, I know that's something she had to be ready for. No one's ever really prepared for accidents to happen like this.
No, you're absolutely right.
But if you're going to bull ride and you're going to rodeo, you're going to know that that's there. And that's something that, you know, I'm sure she dealt with on a daily basis or every time that she rode anyway.
Absolutely. Well, this is the point that I was getting at, Sandy, and I'm going to use you as an example, and I hope you won't shoot me for it. But
no, go ahead.
If Rodney had a choice as to who he was going to put in the arena to get on the back of one of his bulls, his brother, his blood brother, or his wife, who do you think he's going to choose?
If I had riding ability, he wouldn't have a choice. It would be me. No, it would probably be, you're right, it would be a male.
That's protective nature in the men that are raised, especially in this type of lifestyle, you know, in this country atmosphere, in this way of living that we call rodeo life, that we are in that protective nature where we protect our women, we protect our young, you know.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's human nature for us to feel that way. And so I believe that that's where Rob was getting at, that he was speaking from a standpoint that women shouldn't be allowed to ride bulls, that men, you know, because of the type of nature we are, and Rob's old school, you know, but that's what he believes, that, you know, it's more of a protective nature than it is just because he doesn't think that they are capable of doing it. Now, my other point is this, is that to see women come out there and compete with the men, I have honestly not seen a woman that can compete at the same level. A lot of it may, I think, is more psychological, but there are a lot of physical demands that come out of this, you know, this sport in bull riding, that I think that women still have to learn to grasp hold of. Does that
make
sense?
Well, you know, I'm the first one to say there are things on the ranch that Rodney can do that I can't, just because of strength. So there are, you know, certain aspects of bull riding or of anything in life that men are going to be better at or excel at over women. Do I think that means that they shouldn't be allowed? No, not at all. I mean, if that is an individual choice, and if it's a youngster and that is something that their parents allow, then, yeah, I think they should be given the opportunity. But I also think that, and I said it yesterday in the chat room, size matters when it comes to this. And just like you can't make a law that goes straight across the board and will work for everybody, or make a blanket statement that girls shouldn't be allowed to ride bulls, you can't say, okay, and we're going to change bull riding up, and, you know, you have to be over 140 pounds to ride a bull that weighs this much, or, you know, something like that. But I do think there should be some kind of, I really don't know how to put it,
Well, I do know how to put it. I know exactly where you're getting at, Sandy, with this, and so I'm gonna try to explain it out there. This is what I truly believe in, especially after speaking with guys like Rob Smith and Cody Custer. Those two guys are very big within the youth of the future of the sport and where we're headed. I believe that there should be a certain amount of levels that you are competing at now, that you are allowed to compete at. Now, this is my thing. You know, I did not start riding bulls until I was in my 20s. And for me to go get on bulls, there were kids that were 13 years old that had been on 100 head of bulls that were far more advanced in riding than I was. So how can you take, you know, you can put that young kid on the same type of bull that I was on, you know, and he's going to spur him all day long. And he's going to be safe because he knows the fundamentals. And that's where it starts, by going to a good school and learning the fundamentals of the sport and breaking things down at a school, at a closed environment where you can spend time on a practice dummy, you know, on a bucking bull, a bucking machine, you know, the Mighty Bucky, El Toro, the drop barrel like Gary LeFou uses, and work on those techniques of riding, those techniques of getting off safely, you know, and that those things are going to be second nature to you when it comes to getting on an actual bull. But I do think that there needs to be levels. I think that you should take a girl, for instance, in Brooke's case, you know, I think that she may have been in a more advanced pen than what she belonged in. I think she belonged in getting on something that was a lot less of a kicker, you know, something that maybe just hop skipped out there so she could learn how to ride that forward motion first, and then get things that started bucking a little bit and things that started turning back right there at the gate. You know, you've got to be able to advance. So I think that's what you're getting at. Am I right?
That's exactly what I wanted to say. It's all about the levels. I stand behind rodeo schools and bull riding schools 100%. Rodney's been to a few. In the future, if Gus wants to ride, we plan on sending him to a few, but it's not going to be until, you know, he's a teenager and that's a decision he can make for himself.
Right.
But there are kids out there that don't have access to that. I mean, there are rodeo families that are just making it up and down the road to get to the next rodeo, and they're not doing it for fun or for a hobby. That's the way, you know, these families make some of their living.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, if they don't have the access or have financial means to get to these schools, all they have is what they're taught behind the pen, behind, you know, with whoever's there.
Here's my thing for that, though, is they're dropping $10 and $20 and $30 to go and get their that little bit of advice. You know what? You can hold off for 3 months and pay for a school and go get out there. That's unacceptable, and I will not take that as a logical answer that these people do not have the funds to come up with it. You know, so they're going to go and use whatever means they have to get out there at every little jackpot bull ride and go get with Joe Schmo, who can't cowboy himself, you know what I mean? But he's going to try to teach this young kid how to go get on these bulls, and he's teaching them bad habits. And I for one, I'm a strong believer in that because I've seen it happen at so many bull rides, so many rodeos, that I just won't accept it. I think that it is imperative that if these, you know, that was where I learned, you know, I said, you know what, I had the opportunity back when I was 17 years old to go ride my first bull, but I had, just like you were saying, I had some guys that were going to go and teach me the ropes and let me borrow their equipment, and, you know, I never heard of those guys before, you know what I mean? And so for them to try to teach me how to ride, I absolutely would have been my worst mistake. So when I decided, you know, when I was in my 20s and I had the opportunity to go, I was going to go to a school and learn those fundamentals from educated bull riders that know the sport, that know the fundamentals, you know. And, I
right.
mean, even today, you know, I mean, there's people out there. So my thing is this. If you have a deep desire, passion for it, I encourage that. If you want to go out there and give it a go, I encourage that. Whether you're male, female, black, white, pink, purple, it doesn't make a difference to me.
Yes,
110 pounds or 250 pounds. If you want to go try to learn how to ride bulls, I say don't let that hold you up. But do it right. Do it in a safe environment. Learn the fundamentals first. Spend time on the barrels in a school atmosphere where they're teaching you about the equipment. They're teaching you the fundamentals of your shoot procedures, of the riding fundamentals, and your get-off procedures. Those things there are key in keeping you safe in this sport. Is it 100%? Absolutely not. Nothing is in this sport of bull riding, but it will certainly give you a leg up.
Yeah, and I agree. I agree wholeheartedly, you know, that if they have the opportunity to learn from schools, learn from a school. But there are, I mean, unfortunately, there are people that can't afford that, and they're not learning. You know, I wouldn't just trust Gus, you know, if Rodney wasn't around. I wouldn't trust him to anyone that I didn't think could ride. But before J.B. Mooney was J.B. Mooney at the PBR, he was a dang good bull rider. That's how he got there. Those are the kind of people that I would look for, you know, to mentor my child. And I don't think that the, you know, parents necessarily trust just any Joe Schmo walking around behind the chutes. And I do think that even if it's done in a school atmosphere, in a school-like setting, it doesn't have to necessarily be a school. As long as you're learning something from the people that are teaching you and you're progressing, then I don't see a problem with it.
The issue,
you know,
that I have
just,
those and like I said, you know, the issue that I have with that, though, Sandy, is when you get, you know, and I've seen it happen, you know, right there at the Crosstown Expressway, right here at this event where this took place, is that you'll get some 18, 19-year-old kid who's never been on a bull before walk up and say, hey, guys, I want to learn how to ride a bull. I want to be able to ride one of these things. Can one of y'all help me? Everybody and their brother's going to be like, oh, shoot, yeah, come on down. Let me help you. Are you right or left-handed? Let me get you set up with your equipment. Now, this is what you're going to do, and they're going to tell you. But that's not the way to go about learning it. Right there, 10 minutes before you go to get on, that it's not going to, you know, you have to get the repetitions down. You have to get the techniques down, the form down before you actually go and get on. Now, I will tell you this. I've been to two Lyle Sankey schools. I've been to the Gary LeFou bull riding school. And I will tell you that in all cases I've been to, it is absolutely imperative. The first things that they teach you are the shoot procedures, the things that you need to do, the motion that you need to have, the form that you need to have, and the technique. And that is absolutely imperative in the sport. And you work on that for, I don't know, a few hours there in the morning. You get those repetitions down. And then they start putting you on bulls. But they're not going to put you on a bull that is out there in an exhibition nature. They're going to put you on a bull that they know is only going to go out there and hop skip. I mean, my first bull, honestly,
right.
You guys, I'm almost embarrassed to do it, but I might just put it up there on makingeight.com or buckersnow.com where you can see my first video, me riding a bull. I think that you will see what it is that we're talking about. That bull that I first got on, he ran more than he bucked, and he didn't get but more than probably a foot or foot and a half off the ground in the back end. You know, but I learned the technique. It was almost embarrassing, but it was the first bull I'd ever been on. You know, it really was. My wife is actually videoing, and she is laughing at me. That's how bad it was. She is laughing at me. My first bull, and she is laughing. I mean, you know, that's how comical it was, you know. But it is imperative. You know, I cannot accept the excuse that some people cannot afford to get to a school. I don't care if that kid is 11 years old. If you have any interest on keeping your kid safe, you're going to find a way before you allow them to go get on that bull. You can tell them that you're going to go to work for 3 months doing a part-time job, mowing yards, whatever the case may be. You will get into a school before, and I think that is imperative. I think that they should have a certificate before they approach any arena to show that they have been to a certified school. You know, and I'm not saying Gary LeFou or Lyle Sankey bull riding school. I'm saying people from, you know, the bull riders that put them on out here. You know, Wiley Peterson puts on a clinic. Very good indie bull rider that's going to teach you the fundamentals of the sport. But you have to have it in that kind of environment. You can't just go to a podunk rodeo down here, a jackpot bull ride on a Friday night, walk up and say, I want to go ride the bull. You know, it shouldn't happen that way. It should be set in a more secure environment. And then if you want to progress it. You know, go to some practice pens, get on some bulls that are at your level there, get those techniques down, get that form down, and then move up, then advance, you know.
I do agree with you in that. I mean, you know, when we put Gus in that kind of situation, if he wants to do that, then yes, I want somebody that – can teach him but the basics and the fundamentals. But most importantly, I want, you know, the good medical attention there, things like that. And there are some places where you only find that at the schools. So, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. And I also want to say, you know, I love Rob Smets, have loved him forever. He's always been one of my heroes and still respect Rob. And if he's listening or for the Making Eight Maniacs, just to know that difference in opinion makes for good conversation.
It does. It absolutely does. So anyhow, well, listen, Sandy, I appreciate you taking the time out here to call us. And how are your toes feeling?
Toes are good. They were only bruised, but I am in a sling.
Oh, man, that's a bummer.
Still got to work. Things still got to go on.
I hear you. Well,
I'll let you go.
Yes, ma'am. You tell Rodney I said hello.
To me preach. I will. And Maniacs, you guys rock.
All right. Well, take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye. All right. That was Miss Sandy at 2G Bucking Bulls, and I'm glad that she actually called in. And hopefully I didn't offend anybody by those conversations. It's just my belief as well, you know. I think that if you're doing anything outside of taking, whether it be your young child, whether it be you're 20 years old and want to go ride a bull, you know, I really believe, that you should put yourself in the safe environment first by at least giving yourself the best opportunity to be successful and to be safe. And that is to go to a school, to get yourself the right equipment as well. I see that coming in from Buckers Now right now. And thank you, Matt, for posting that out there as well. You know, it absolutely does. Having the proper equipment, having the safe equipment is imperative. So, anyhow, trying to multitask here. I got comments, got questions coming in, and I definitely appreciate it. Speaking of, we've got another couple more callers, so we're going to see if we can't get them on the line. 513, you're on the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show. Hold on. Yep, there you are. 513, you're on. Hello. Well, they hung up. I believe that they did that by accident. Maybe they just wanted to tune in, but they pushed the one on the phone anyways. The next guy I'm going to bring in is actually one that you guys have heard from all week long. Well, no, hang on a second. Let's see if we can't get him again. 513, you are on the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show.
Can you hear me now?
Hello. Yeah, we can hear you.
Hey, this is Marty.
Hey, Marty. How you doing, amigo?
I fight at one of those back what I call backyard rodeo. It's just
right.
A practice and not a stand. And what we do for the guys that come in, okay, the new guys that's never rode before is required to have a helmet,
uh-huh,
a rope, and a vest, which they provide that for them if they cannot find one. Okay, and we screen those guys on certain bulls that they're allowed to get on.
Right.
Same way with the girls.
Yeah.
Now, we got some girls that's been riding novice for a long time and does great, you know, and
right,
and can get on a lot of the better bucking bulls.
Right.
But, you know, we screen them to try to keep them safe, and same way with the kids. You know, we do calf riding, and we got two calves. We got one calf that goes out there, hops, jumps. 9 times out of 10, he's going to stop about the third jump. Okay. And then the other calf we got out there will turn back right there at the latch. Ain't no different than half a jackpot pin. Okay? But we screen to make sure that those kids and their abilities, and they don't even have to be the first time riding. You know, they could be riding there for 6 months. If their ability isn't to get on the better novice bulls, then they're screened out and they're not allowed to get on them better novice bulls. And it seems
right
to work out pretty good.
Yeah,
so
well,
you know,
this is my thing, though, this is my opinion on it, okay? I've been on both sides of things. I've seen these guys that have walked in there, you know, and had everything but never been on a bull, and they said, I want to go ride right here. I think that they need to put themselves in, like, a 3-day classroom environment type deal where they can go and work on these fundamentals first before they go and even open those gates with a bull in the buck and shoot. You know, that's my opinion on it. Whether it's right or whether it's wrong, that's my theory behind preventing some of the injuries that may occur at some of these smaller events. You know, the risks are still there. We all know them. We accept them in this sport because it is so dangerous. However, we can alleviate a lot of injuries and a lot of mistakes by putting somebody through and letting them learn the fundamentals before they get on. Now, I'm not saying that it has to be a Gary Lafew or a Lyle Sankey teaching you. I'm just saying that it needs to be somebody who understands the sport, who's been around it, and has a reputation within the sport to be able to go around and teach somebody else those same fundamentals.
We got a guy down there that puts on bull riding schools for the newcomers, and he does
right
a class before every rodeo, and I think he charges like $10, and they got a mighty bucky
right
there.
Yep.
And he works with them, you know, for the first time. Hey, you pay $10. He works with you for 20, 30 minutes before for the rodeo, for the novice.
Right.
While the jackpot's going on.
Right.
And it works out great.
Yeah.
You know,
I can agree with that. As long as they're getting on the caliber of bull that fits their level, that fits their riding ability, which would say if that bull doesn't run out of that arena, you know, and try to get all the way across the other side of the arena, then that bull probably shouldn't be, or that cowboy shouldn't be getting on anything less, in my opinion. For the first time, if you're ever going to get on a bull, that bull should just flat out hop, skip, run down the arena. You know, that's my opinion on it. I don't think you should get anything that bucks more than a foot and a half off the ground.
Right.
I mean, would you agree with me?
I agree totally, 100%.
Okay, good. That's what I'm trying to get at. You know, it doesn't matter to me.
It's a girl or a boy.
What's that?
It don't matter if it's a girl or if it's a boy.
Absolutely not. I don't care if you're purple, black, white. It doesn't make a difference. Absolutely. I think that if you're willing to put yourself out there, still understanding the risk that this is a dangerous sport, you know, but I think that you need to get on something that is at your competitive level. So I'm just saying, you know, I definitely appreciate. Yeah, exactly.
If you're scared, then you shouldn't get on something that's hooky or something that's going to make big movements.
Yep, absolutely. And until you can overcome that level, you need to stay right there, and you need to continue to work at it, you know, for as long as it takes. But like I said, that's still not to say that you can't endure the same kind of risk. And what happened with Brooke was something that she'd been on that bull 100 times. Yeah, I mean, you know, she'd been on that bull twice a month down there for several months. That girl knew that bull, you know. It was just a matter of her getting off that bull on a bad time, you know, at a bad spot, and that bull kicking out at the same time.
I agree with that. Exactly.
So that was a freak thing. Now, people are blowing this out of proportion. Well, I wouldn't say they're blowing out of proportion. They are highlighting this because this is one of the first female bull riders that I know of that is 16 years old that was ever killed in the line of duty like this, you know, or killed in the sport. So that is why it's making such national news or worldwide news, you know. But I can tell you this, she was very passionate. She understood the risk and loved doing what she was doing week in and week out when she got on those bulls. So I've got to encourage her for that. I've got to, you know, credit her for that, and I support her parents for supporting her in that as well.
Hey, if they didn't support it, she'd just go behind her back and do it.
What's that? Exactly. And that's exactly what I said yesterday as well when I was talking with Rob, that if we tried to prevent our kids from going out and getting on bulls, they're going to find a way to rebel. So, anyways, I do appreciate your call, Marty. I hope things are going well with you, man. How's the recovery going?
Oh, it's doing pretty good. I took my staples out yesterday. So
good deal, man. Good deal. Did it hurt?
I go back to my therapy. No.
No?
No.
I always kind of enjoy pulling my own staples or stitches out, man. It's kind of cool. It feels funny.
Yeah.
But all right, amigo. Well, listen, man, have yourself a great day, and I appreciate you calling in.
You too. Thanks a lot.
All right, buddy. Well, we got about 15 minutes left in the show here, fans. I'm going to tell you, we're going to take one more short break. We've got some callers on the line still. We're going to get to you, I promise you. So don't go anywhere, fans. You listen to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here with Megan A.
I hear a lot of folks say, man, you're not quite right. You've been riding on that crazy side damn near all your life. Not about to change, but they don't understand the thrill of riding thunder, holding lightning in my hand. I look for rodeo nights, stage second highs, hot little cowgirls with them jeans real tight. Music sounding loud, walking out. Thousand pounds. They say this ain't living well. I gotta get some.
Hi, this is world champion Rob Smets, and whether you're riding a bronc or roping a steer, you need boots you can count on. Only Ariat boots provide you the support, stability, and comfort you can rely on day in and day out. Ariat's four levels of technology allow you to pick the boot that gives you the maximum support for your best performance. And the variety of styles, colors, and premium leathers lets you pick a boot that suits your personal style. When your performance needs to be top-notch, be sure you're wearing Ariat, the brand that'll keep you on your feet when the going gets tough. Visit a store near you and try Ariat boots today to experience the difference.
All right. Welcome back to the Lunch Out Radio Show right here with Macon A. And, boy, do we have some hot topics that we've been throwing out there today. I appreciate all the comments that are coming in about this situation. You know, one of the things that I did want to touch on as well is, you know, I think that as parents, getting our kids in the sport, as they are the future of this sport, you know, it's going to take us to step out and really get a full understanding of what we're getting involved with, the risks that are at stake, and what we need to do to prepare our children, whether it be male, female, you know, but our children in this sport. And I think that Cody Custer has probably summed it up best by putting them in the, you know, the set of arrangements that are necessary to allow them to compete to the best of their abilities, you know. And when we're talking about, you know, young kids at 5 and 6 years old going to get on sheep and riding sheep, you know, and I think there needs to be a school. They need to go back to school each time, whether it be a $100 school, $200 school, to learn the fundamentals and be able to get out there and practice it before they get in that competitive level and they start moving up into the type of even sheep that could potentially cause them harm, you know. I think they should get on something that should just prance around out there, you know. And you'll see that, like in a lot of these exhibition deals where they have some of these young kids going out there to get on it, that I think that you'll see that, you know, a lot of the kids, they lay down and just put their arms around the sheep, you know. And that's the kind of level that we need to teach, you know, these young kids. You know, when you're getting on calves, these young kids are getting on calves. Of course, they only have to stay on for 6 seconds, but I think they need to get on something that's going to be a little bit more their class, you know. When it's time to move up into the steers and the junior bulls, that they need to start off on a smaller caliber animal, one that is known. I mean, they're very unpredictable, but they, you know, that they – yeah, I'm seeing the comments coming in there. Wow, you guys are just tuned in, and I appreciate that. But you know, I really think that they need to get on something that has no high kick, that has no turn back to them, that just runs away, hops, skips down the arena. So, hey, how did you guys know that I was in spandex? You know, really, I mean, come on, y'all are giving me such a hard time, and I haven't even heard the term spandex in weeks now. I thought we were getting away from that, but wow, you know, y'all just won't let something go, will you? Love you guys for it, though. Y'all are great. We've only got about 8 minutes left in our show, and, of course, this next guy that I'm going to get on board, he's been tuned in here all show long. I know he's chomping at the bit to get out here and probably voice his opinion. You guys have heard him all week long. How about Mr. Jay Welkers? Jay, what's going on?
Not too much, Scott. What's going on today?
Oh, you're listening to it right here on the Lunch Hour Show, buddy.
I know. I've been listening to it the whole hour.
I hear you, man. So what do you say? What's going on, partner?
Oh, not much. Just a few comments I got to make. You know, I fully agree with, you know, the kids of the future of tomorrow in bull riding should be put on third class of bulls. You know, if they're getting on bulls that are outclassing them, that are getting thrown off of 1-2 jumps, they ain't learning anything.
Right.
They have to get on something where, like you're saying, you know, they have to learn the fundamentals. But I also agree that you do not have to go to a school to be a bull rider. I mean, look how many bull riders are right here in the southern states, bull riders that have been riding bulls all their life but never been to a bull riding school. I mean, you got Brian Corson. You think Brian Corson went to a bull riding school?
Yes, he did, actually. He went to Gary LaFue's bull riding school, bud.
Well, I didn't know that. I mean,
there's a little bit of education for you. There is a little bit of education for you, partner. Jay, I tend to agree with you, man. Guys, and where you're at right now, you turn around, look back on it, and say, yeah, I made it through, and I was all right. You know, I didn't go to no bull riding school, and I did just fine. But you put yourself in a situation to surround yourself with successful people, learn from them. You know, how many times did you spend just watching behind the bucking chutes before you actually went and got on your first time?
Actually, zero.
Really?
Yeah, I actually got talked into it by some buddies that they all rode bulls, and they wanted me to get on a bull, and I was like, you guys are crazy. I ain't getting on no bull. And then the first rodeo I went to was actually right here in Plant City, Florida, and it was Philip Lewis and all my friends that told me they didn't show up. It was quite an experience, my first rodeo, but once I did get on my bull, I fell off, you know, of course, but it was something that the adrenaline rush and the love for it it never stopped.
Right.
I went from going every Friday night to the level I'm at now. You know, I compete riding bulls professionally. That's how I make my living.
Right.
And I honestly feel that this was just a freak accident. I mean, I honestly feel it don't matter if you're 9 years old, 36 years old, if you're riding bulls, like we've said 100 times this week, the injuries are bound to happen. It don't matter if you're getting on something that you're going to be 90 points on, or even if it's something that lopes down the pin, the chances of getting hurt and killed are there every time you nod your head.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do agree with you, man. And I do think that, you know, it wouldn't have mattered how many schools that she would have went to or anybody else for that matter. You know, when you're going up against an animal that weighs a significant amount more than you do, you know, you take that risk anytime you get out there. And there's always that potential of being hurt. And, you know, we understand those risks, but we love the game. And we're going to continue to play the game because we love the sport.
That's 100% truth. You know, I mean, just like the safe atmosphere. I fully agree with that. But you can have the best bullfighters in the world, the best equipment in the world, have a helmet on. You can almost sometimes be in a full body cast, and that accident is still have a chance of happening.
Yep. You're right.
But like you said on the show all week as well, it's one of the things when you start riding bulls, You know the prices are out there to pay, and that's
yep.
What drives. You know, there's a bunch of bull riders over the years that have been great in their career, and they take that first injury and they never bounce back from it.
Yeah,
it puts a fear in them where they're like, man, do I really want to ride bulls? Is this how I want to make my living? And that's where you determine your bull riders from your guys that just want to ride bulls.
Yep.
I mean, you get out there and you fracture your jaw, your first major injury. I mean. Me personally, last June I took a smack in the face at a CBR event, and it took me a good 3-4 months to get the fire built back up to go to them bulls like I was. You know, it was like, man, do I really want to get my face smacked again? So
yeah.
It's something you deal with, dude. It's the price you pay, and you're gonna get hurt. You're gonna get hurt riding bulls. If you have any career at all, you're riding bulls for any amount of time, you're gonna get hurt.
Yeah. And, you know, to be honest with you, I think that goes, you know, without saying, but I think that if you're going to be a dedicated bull rider, if you're going to be a bull rider that's passionate about the sport, you are going to get hurt because your try is so there, you know, it's so great that when they crack that latch and that bull comes out, you're not focused on anything else other than making that whistle, you know, and you are not going to quit until you your hand ain't coming out of that rope until you hit the ground. And 9 times out of 10, that if your drive is there, your passion is there, that you're going to be right next to that bull when you hit the ground if it's before the 8-second whistle. Now, if you have the opportunity to jump off, yeah, you're going to take it. But the bottom line is if your try is there, you're going to be up underneath that bull, and it's going to hurt one way or another. It's only a matter of when and how bad, you know. But it's going to happen. I know firsthand because that's where my heart was. That's where my passion was. That's where my dedication was. And that's where I ended up because that's where I got hurt. You know, I mean, I didn't quit until my head hit the ground. And unfortunately, you know, when you're that close to an animal that weighs that much, injuries are going to happen. But it's a matter of where your passion is and how much we love the game is to, you know, what we're going to risk for it.
That's right. That's right. 110% agree. I mean, it's I've seen plenty of time where you make a qualified ride and you go to try to step off clean and you step off wrong and you get stepped on, break a leg, bull turns back, hooks you down. I mean, like Rob Smith said yesterday, there is no timeout button anytime through it.
Yep.
There's no timeout. There's no timeout button to push when you see things are getting ready to get bad. There's no timeout button to push. You have to get through.
Yeah, you're right. Well, hey, listen, Jay, speaking of timeouts, I know there's no timeouts in the sport of bull riding, but there is timeouts right here on the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show. And guess what? We're wrapped up here, man. So we're going to have to let you go. But, Jay, I'm going to see you a little bit later on here this afternoon as we make our way up there to River View and go spend some time with our bull riding family that needs it right now up there.
Yes, sir. I'll see you tonight.
All right, buddy. Well, take care.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
All right, fans, that's going to do it for our show today. Wow, what about some great topics right there. Got to thank all of y'all for tuning in right here on the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show. I want to remind you that we'll be back at it tomorrow as we sit back and we talk a little bit more about what's going on. So you guys, make sure to get a grip with Making Eight. Until tomorrow, y'all take care. Let's see if I can find my closing song here. I know it's in here somewhere there, fans. Wow. There we go. We got you. So until tomorrow there, fans, get a grip with Making Eight and Buckers Now.
Thanks for tuning in with Making Eight. Happy trails, be blessed, and get a grip.
Welcome and listening to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Rodeo announcer Roger Mooney. When you get ready to get a grip and get explosive, get all of your bull riding info on Making8.com. Tune it in, rip off the knob, and let's get hide, hump, hooves, and horns. Making 8 is a winner.